Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll stay tuned and even join in the conversation with us here this evening. We're going to open with prayer here in just a moment, but I also want to let you know by way of a program note, we have a special guest that's going to be on with us tonight. We're going to be talking about civilizational jihad and the threat that is to America, as well as the opportunity that presents for Christians to evangelize Muslims inside of this country. So let's go ahead and open in a word of prayer, and then we'll get right into our program here tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you so much again for the opportunity to be on the air this evening. We just pray, Father, that you would bless and that you would use the program tonight for your glory. Help us, Lord, to be an encouragement to people. And again, we just pray that we could lift up and glorify Christ through the things we talk about. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as I said, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and I've got a special guest that's going to be with me here tonight on the program. We are going to have Tom Wallace. He's the host of Fortress of Faith. That's a radio program that you can find the website fortressoffaith.org. That's fortressoffaith.org. And Tom Wallace is basically trying to open up America's eyes and the eyes of Christians across this country to the challenge of Islam in America and in the world. And I believe that Tom Wallace is with us. Tom, welcome to the program tonight.
Hello, Brother Al. It's always great to be on the radio with you and your listeners. Thank you for this opportunity.
It's good to have you back on again. It's been a little while since we had you on, and I'm excited to have you on here tonight. And before we get into the topic, could you just give a real quick background of yourself and how you got into this ministry?
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, I was a missionary overseas in Europe for 17 years. I grew up also as a missionary kid. Mainly in England, and you know, I grew up amongst Muslims over there in somewhat large Muslim communities. People don't realize how far Europe has gone down the road with being infiltrated by Muslims, and so with my experiences over there, God opened my eyes to some of the agenda that some Muslims have in bringing the world into the domination of Islam. And God has called me back to America to awaken America to these issues. Our radio program is a Christian apologetic ministry, polemic ministry, dealing with the issues of Islam, but we're also a missionary ministry. I always say this, don't blame Muslims for Islam. They are victims. They need to be rescued and brought to the truth of the gospel. And so we've been doing this for, well, now getting close to a decade. And the Lord's blessed our radio ministry around 250 radio stations. And there's a lot of questions, issues. People want to know the truth. What they hear from the media doesn't pass the sniff test, doesn't sound true, doesn't sound right, because most of it isn't. And so we bring some clarity to that issue.
Well, I appreciate that, and it's a challenging ministry, and having spent some time myself over in England, and I know you were there for a little while too, I was there courtesy of Uncle Sam, though. I was stationed there in the Air Force, and that was back in the 80s, and that really probably, in a sense, was before, although it was going on, but it was before we had, I guess, the open calls for Sharia law in England and places like that. And in fact, you're probably familiar with Luton there in England.
Oh, yes, Luton, England, down close to London.
Yeah, I was stationed north of, not too far from Luton. I actually used to hold a Bible study with some British folks in Luton, so I've traveled to Luton many times. And Luton today, of course, is a hotbed of Islamism within the UK. And it's just incredible to see in the news some of the changes that have occurred there. And, you know, a lot of Muslims have poured into England and Great Britain in general, as well as European countries. Watching the news, of course, this weekend, the humanitarian crisis going on right now with the refugees pouring into Europe out of the Middle East. And my wife asked a great question. Well, how come they're not going down into Saudi Arabia? How come they're not going into Egypt or Libya? How come they're all going into Europe? And then, of course, numbers of them are scheduled to be coming into our country, which brings us to the topic tonight, this idea of civilizational jihad and what is going on here with this influx of Islamic immigration and even refugees coming into Europe and then, for our focus, into the United States. And
yeah.
I'm sure you're familiar with that term, civilizational jihad. Is it a plan? Is it a coordinated effort? What do you think?
Well, I think there's evidence of it that the government has in their hands. The FBI raided the home of Ismail Embrace back in, 2004, 2005, and they found a cache of documents from
right.
the Muslim Brotherhood from their operational groups here in the United States, and the prize document was the memorandum to the group of North America written by the Muslim Brotherhood,
mm-hmm.
the Ikhwan. And on page number 7, it said there that the Ikhwan must understand that their work in America is a grand jihad in eliminating mm-hmm. and destroying Western civilization from within. Can anyone say sedition?
Right,
that's exactly
right.
what that is promoting. Then it lays out their strategy and their groups. 14 groups were listed in that document, and this was during the Bush administration, and they started prosecuting them. One of the larger groups was the Holy Land Fund Foundation.
Right,
they were
in 2008.
They were raising money for terrorism, for Hamas. Of course, Muslim Brotherhood also birthed Hamas. And many people have lengthy jail sentences through the prosecution, and that document was a key piece of information there. Then they started going after other groups that were associated, CARE, the Council of American Islamic mm-hmm. Relations, ISNA. But then we had a change of administration, a new attorney general and a new commander-in-chief, and Obama told the attorney general, boy, I'm having a senior moment here.
Holder, yes.
Yeah, Holder. And basically they stopped all the prosecution. Now, this was going on down in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And so a stay has been put on that. And Obama has opened the door to the Muslim Brotherhood in our country.
Even back in 2012, the head of the FBI, Mueller, had assured the Council on American Islamic Relations that they had destroyed all of their training materials that would have been things that the Muslims did not care for. In other words,
yes.
all the things that talked about Islamic terror and jihad. And with that, Tom, I have a question from a caller here. We've got a caller that's calling in and wants to know about the term jihad. And let's grab our caller here real quick so we can identify that term, because certainly we've been using that term. And if one person has a question what it means, I'm sure others do as well. So let's get our caller on the air here real quick. We've got Jerry calling in. And Jerry, welcome to the program tonight.
Hello. My question. I'm a Christian myself, so
yes, sir.
With Muslim terminology, I'm a little sketchy. But my friend, who is Muslim, tells me that the term jihad is mistranslated by English people or American people.
Mm-hmm.
That the term means struggle. It could mean jihad against oneself, against anything that you are struggling against,
mm-hmm.
and that in some people, obviously, some Muslims take it to mean an armed struggle,
No, that's a great question, Jerry. Let's go ahead and have Tom Wallace answer that for us. Okay.
Well, I'll be glad to. Well, I'm going to read from the Sharia law book. This is the classic manual of Islamic sacred law. And in section 09.0, this is the legal definition of jihad, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Jihad means to war against non-Muslims. It is etymologically derived from the word mujahada, jihad, signifying warfare to establish the religion. Now, that's quite clear. It means warfare against non-Muslims.
Right.
To establish it. Now, that's the legal definition. Then it goes a little further, and I'm going to explain what it says here in a second. And this is the lesser jihad. As for the greater jihad, it is a spiritual warfare against the lower self. Now, what your Muslim friend is saying is partly true, but not completely true.
Mm-hmm.
There is the struggle. The actual definition of jihad means struggle. That is correct. The struggle against evil would be more technical. And the unbeliever, the kuffar, is considered the one responsible for the evil in the world. So the idea of Islam is that once the world has been rid of the kuffar, the evil, then there'll be peace in the world. So therefore, they must struggle against it. This is known as the lesser jihad. It is considered lesser because it is it's not global. Now, the greater jihad is global. Everybody will struggle against some form of evil within their own life, evil temptations, thoughts, whatever. And so this is called the greater jihad because it's more global, but it doesn't, you know, do away with the lesser jihad of the war against the kuffar. I hope that helps.
Yeah, and I think another thing I would add to that, you were absolutely correct in saying that his Muslim friend was partially correct in the concept of struggle, but there's another two concepts in Islam that I think are good to bring out, and I actually learned these while serving in the Air Force in the 1980s, because we would see, for instance, Yasser Arafat saying to Western audiences that he was for peace, peace with Israel, recognizing an Israeli, a legitimate Israeli state. And then he would turn around and go back to the Arab Muslim audiences and say, essentially, and we knew he was doing this. I mean, it was no secret. I mean, it was very open, very well known that he was doing this. He would say, pay no attention to what I said to the kafir, because what was said in English to them is doesn't count for anything. And of course, that was the concept, the Islamic concept of taqiyya, you know, lying to further Islam. And then there's a related one, and I was trying to remember the name of it. I think it's kitma or something like that. Are you familiar with that term?
Yeah, there's kitman. Actually,
kitman, that's right. Where you don't tell the whole truth.
Running real slow here. I'm trying to get on my website here because I've got an article on the four areas of deception within mm-hmm. Islam. Al-Taqiyya is the major one, Al-Tariya, but Kitman is the one that you're talking about.
Yeah, where you only give part of the truth.
Yeah. Yes.
A half truth. And that
just
sounds kind of like what he was getting.
Yes, that's exactly what this is. It's telling half-truths. But let me say this, because some of these Muslims have been deceived themselves.
Right.
There is a movement. It's been started by the Ottoman Empire. It's been going on for over, you know, two centuries, of reforming Islam. In other words, taking away the militant side of Islam, dismissing those, and only teaching peaceful portions of the Quran, and trying to, you know, basically they're inventing an Allah of their own imagination.
Right,
it isn't what Muhammad taught. But this reformation has deceived a lot of Muslims, and they don't know better because they don't study their scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
They only believe what their reformed imam has told them. And most of the Muslims here in America are reformed in
right.
doctrine of Islam. And so they haven't studied true orthodoxy of Islam.
In a sense, it's almost like a lot of professing Christians in America really don't know what the Bible teaches. Just so we shouldn't be surprised that a lot of Muslims do not know what the Quran teaches, much less
exactly.
what the Hadith teach. But anyway, let's get back to our topic though of civilizational jihad and this immigration that's coming into our country. And of course, people that have been following this, a number of people in our area here in northeastern Ohio have been talking about this. In fact, the county that I live in, Summit County, Ohio, has recently joined up with, as well as Akron, our county seat, Akron, Ohio, has joined up with this group called Welcoming America, where it's an effort to prepare people in our county, as well as people in Akron, to welcome in these new refugees and these new immigrants. In which I found kind of interesting is that you were talking about there from the Muslim Brotherhood with the explanatory memorandum that was found that. It actually talked in there, if I recall correctly, that they would even use, you know, non-Muslims, leaders, community leaders, even churches. You can see this happening in Syracuse, New York right now, to try to help seed areas with Islamic immigrants to actually, in a sense, Islamify an area.
Yes, definitely, and this is a growing trend. We've had now for over a decade. Now, get this, so it's not just Obama doing this. This was going on during the Bush years. The United Nations is really behind this.
Mm-hmm.
But 100,000 Muslim immigrants are pouring into our country every year, and now these are legal immigrants. Now, I'm not talking about illegal immigrants.
Right.
That's another issue.
And we know they're
altogether.
Coming in over the border.
Yeah, we know some have been slipping in through our porous southern border. But we have 100,000 a year coming in. Now we're seeing a growth in that. We're expecting a big growth in that with the migration of Muslims that are pouring out of Syria.
Right.
And there is certainly an agenda behind this, and this is something that we have been trying to expose to the public and bring this situation to the forefront. The government, the United States government, is openly welcoming these people in, these refugees, and many of them, they certainly are in need of some refuge. Definitely. We don't deny that.
Yeah, I would
but
say
it's Muslims
we're not
that are
against
coming in, not Christians.
Yeah, we're not against providing humanitarian assistance and allowing genuine refugees in, and I want people to understand that. But what we're talking about is a planned attempt to fundamentally change America, isn't it?
Well, I mean, the fact is that there's a huge persecution of Christians over there,
mm-hmm.
but they're not the ones who are getting
right.
preferential treatment to come in. The ones who are being preferred to come in are the Muslims.
Right.
Nine out of ten of them will be Muslim.
Yeah,
and,
we had a,
and so you know, so there's something up here.
Yes, we had a great comment at our church. We were talking about this during our Bible study. I think it was last Friday night. And they said, you know, they can't weed out the people who are willing to carry out violent jihad from these groups. They can't, you know, vet all these people because they're not sure, but they can sure weed out the Christians. and yeah, you had sent out a letter where you had mentioned that conservative congressional districts across this country are some of the areas that are being targeted by the federal government to have these large refugee population just sort of unexpectedly dropped in them.
Yes, 190 communities have been targeted
mm-hmm.
For the dumping of these Muslim immigrants that are coming into our country, and most of them are being put into conservative voting, Republican voting districts. For example, Trey Gowdy in
right.
South Carolina. You know, I mean, he sits on a number of immigration or, you know, boards there in Washington, D.C.
Right.
And he didn't even know that his district was being dumped like 200, I think it was 200 and something there, of these Muslims from Syria.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another issue when we get to what the FBI director said about the Syrian refugees coming in. We'll get to that maybe later. But he didn't know about these people coming in. Nobody knows about these things coming in until, you know, it's until it's just about ready to happen. And Trey Gowdy wrote a number of letters to John Kerry, our Secretary of State, demanding some answers about these things. And, of course, John Kerry, you know, gave a political reply 9 miles long. They didn't say anything. And so, you know, we're seeing them going into Minnesota, into where I forgot the representative up there.
Michelle Bachmann.
Yes, Michelle Bachmann, Louis Gohmert, he's getting some over in Texas, and so on there. So they're putting them into areas there, and there is an agenda, and we have evidence of the of a reporter somehow got to listen into one of the conversations of one of the meetings in the White House on this. And so there's certainly an agenda there of what they're intending to do to put these, they're called seedlings, into these receiving communities to change them. Okay, do I have time to get, I don't know when you got a break coming on you there.
We've got a few minutes before the break yet. So
okay, well, let me read this here, because I think your listeners would be really interested. Susan Payne infiltrated a telephone conference call. She was on the line with someone there there in the White House. And she stayed on the line. She didn't hang up. And so somehow she, because she stayed on, there was a conference call that got started there by Muniz, Cecilia Muniz. Now, Cecilia Muniz is the same person. She's the one that President Obama put over the task force of giving, you know, of all the illegal, you know, the illegal immigrants that came in that they were saying, okay, we're going to give them citizenship. She's the one over that. And so she was heading this conference call up. And here, let me read the quote here. The participants spoke of their plans to plant seedlings of immigrant populations into receiving communities that would be cultivated into fertile soil. The idea was that the seedlings would sprout and grow into communities within communities. This is integration. The soil, meaning the community, needed to be changed to accommodate the needs of the seedlings rather than the other way around. Eventually, the mature seedlings would take over the host community.
You know, that echoes...
So in other words, we're not asking these immigrants to assimilate. We're telling the host communities, the Americans that are taking these immigrants in, we want them to change.
Right. That echoes what Yusuf al-Qaradawi, I believe he was a spiritual leader of the Muslim Brotherhood in 1995. Okay, this is what 20 years ago, I guess. He told in Toledo, Ohio, just a few hours from where I'm sitting. He told a Muslim Arab Youth Association convention 1995. He said this: "We will conquer Europe. We will conquer America, not through the sword, but through Dawah," which is, of course, what we're talking about here, trying to, you know, push Islam and further Islam through this. Hey, Tom Wallace, I'm glad that you're on with us. We've got just a few minutes before our break here, and let me just give out some information before we go to the break. Give your website there and what people can find at that website.
Sure. It's fortressoffaith.com, fortressoffaith.com, or .org, goes to the same site. And you can listen to about 2 years of radio broadcasting, a daily program that we have up there. Every program we put up, we also do an article, a blog, that follows the topic, the conversation that we're dealing with. We quote our sources. We always say, don't take our word for it. Check out our sources. Do your due diligence. And we also have an online store there of different materials and so on there. We've produced a couple DVDs, Uncovering Islam, that gives you the nuts and bolts on the religion, and also another DVD, Islam, The Coming Judgment, that explains the agenda. These DVDs were professionally shot in a TV studio, and we've sold thousands of them. And so we have... you know, a lot more of other things there available on our website as well, just to peruse and study.
And that's fortressoffaith.org. And I can tell you, you got a lot of tremendous material there. And we've been talking about some pretty heavy topics here this evening, and we're going to continue this subject on the other side of the break. And I just want to let people know that we don't want it to all be doom and gloom tonight. And if you can stick with us for the program, we're going to be talking about also in the second half of the program the unique opportunities that this civilizational jihad is making available to Christians to be able to reach Muslims with the gospel. As I told our church today, I said, you know, this is an example of what the devil means for evil, God can use for good, but we've got to be willing to take advantage of the opportunity God's putting in our path. And so I want to encourage people to stay tuned. Also let you know that you can find this program when I get it uploaded. It'll be available at our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, and we'll have some links to Tom Wallace and the Fortress of Faith there at livewithpastoral.com. And also, I want to encourage you to go there. You can find our past programs there as well. You can also link to our Facebook page. And Tom, do you have a Facebook page? I think you do, don't you? Yes, you do.
Yes, we do. It's Fortress of Faith Radio.
Right.
If you type in Fortress of Faith, you find a rock band. That's not me.
they might get a little different thing than what they're expecting. So,
yeah.
But it's been a good conversation here this evening, and I want to encourage people. I want to encourage people that, you know, it's not over. God is still on the throne, and God can use us during these times, even though the forces of darkness may be at work in our country and around the world. We have a tremendous opportunity to reach people with the gospel, so stay tuned. We're going to talk about that in the second half of our program. Stay tuned. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330 859-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and we're joined tonight by our special guest, Tom Wallace of Fortress of Faith radio program, and we've been talking about the subject of Islam and specifically the civilizational jihad, attempt to spread Islam in America and essentially take over America for Islam or with Islam. And we're going to get back with Tom Wallace here in just a moment. But again, just a reminder, we're brought to you tonight by not only the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, where I'm the pastor, but also by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. And you can find East Coast Pizza located at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And if you're in the Northeast Ohio area, you can visit there, call for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. And if you're interested in opening your own pizza shop, you might not live in Northeast Ohio, you might be in Virginia or Florida or someplace else, and you're listening saying, well, what are you advertising a pizza shop in Northeast Ohio for? Well, if you want to open your own pizza shop or add pizza, a great pizza recipe to your own existing restaurant offering, you can call East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100 and ask for Gus. That's 216-341-9100. Ask for Gus. He can help you get started in your own pizza business for a whole lot less than what you might think possible. All right, we're going to get back with our program here, and of course you can find later on a copy of this program on our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And we'll get this up there probably in another couple of days on the website there. And I've got Tom Wallace of Fortress of Faith with us. And Tom, welcome back to the program.
Well, thank you, Al. We had a great first half hour.
Yeah.
And looking forward to the rest of the show with you.
Well, it's like I said, as we were closing out that half hour, you know, we talked a lot about the problem and the situation, and it can seem pretty dire and almost hopeless when we're looking at it. But as you and I have talked in the past, we've got a tremendous opportunity also with this being presented to Christians in America to reach Muslims with the gospel. And before we touch on that, I did have a question given to me here during the break, and that is, real quick, how do the Reformed Muslims in the United States, that we were talking about earlier, react to the more traditional ones that are coming into this country?
Well, I mean, the fact is that if, you know, if these, you know, the more fundamental Muslims come into our country, they start pressuring the moderate or the Reformed Muslims, and they start putting you know, threats onto them. You know, hey, you're acting like the kuffar. Are you Muslim or are you kuffar? You smell like kuffar to me. And if you don't straighten up and start living the real true Muslim life, we're going to start treating you like the kuffar, and you will suffer with them. And, you know, we know of examples where they've poured acid over, you know, their cars and that type of stuff. There is threats. And in Europe, we're seeing a lot of that happening. Of course, acid being thrown on women, on their faces and stuff too. And so, you know, they start bullying and threatening these Reformed Muslims to join the ranks of the militants. And so, so they live in fear of them. They came here to get away from them.
Right.
So, and now, you know, we're letting them come into our country. And so, they're worried. Many of them are.
Yeah, and even Muslims who have become Christians. I have a good friend of mine, and he is now a Christian. I had the privilege of baptizing him, and he's told me a few things about that too. One of the things he said is, "There's no love in the Quran, no love at all." And so I've always remembered that. Well, I want to get into a more positive look at this, perhaps, I guess I can say, because as Christians, we understand that, you know, we may have to take up arms to defend our country, to defend our homes from time to time, and we understand that, but ultimately, as Christians, you know, we're called to fight a spiritual battle, and the weapons of our warfare in that case are not carnal. Instead, they're mighty to God, to the pulling down of strongholds, as the Bible says. And so I kind of like to focus this last half of the program, maybe looking at these unique opportunities, and also we can open up the phone lines if you'd like to some callers. I haven't really given out the phone numbers much here tonight. If somebody's got questions about this and questions about Islam, what they can do and maybe how they can get involved, let me give out those numbers here, and then we can talk about this idea of how we have a tremendous opportunity, probably the greatest in all of history, to reach the Muslim people with the gospel. And our phone numbers here, of course, toll-free 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And if you've got a question for our guest, Tom Wallace, with Fortress of Faith, talking about civilizational jihad and Islam in America, and we're also going to be talking about reaching Muslims with the gospel in America. If you've got a question, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. And Tom, as we look at this, it is amazing the freedom that we still have in this country to reach Muslims, isn't it?
Well, it is. In fact, I've said now for a number of years that America and Canada is probably the best place to evangelize Muslims, because over here we don't have apostasy laws making it illegal to evangelize or take someone from one's faith to another. In Muslim countries, that's illegal, and so it's hard to evangelize Muslims over there. You have to kind of do it underground. But over here, we have that freedom. But secondly, again, most of the Muslims that are here, I'm going to say as many as 80% of the Muslims that are here, have come here to get away from the tyranny of Islam.
Right.
But the problem is they're afraid to renounce their faith in Islam, because then that makes them an apostate. And every Muslim knows the penalty for apostasy, that is death. Now, it's not likely that that's going to happen to them over here, but it has happened. Mm-hmm. You've heard of the honor killings,
right,
of girls that their fathers, you know, have killed their daughters because their daughters have apostatized themselves from the faith of Islam. And so, you know, it does happen. There was a wife who was killed by her husband in New York about
right.
3 or 4 years ago.
It does happen. Yeah, I was going to say, there's actually a guy in the news here, maybe you heard about this, who would just happen. I think this was also in New York, and he was trying to, I guess, preach to some of these Muslims, and he had been a Muslim himself, and they found him beaten to death with his Bible lying open next to him, blood all over. Yeah, of course.
Mm.
And this is happening right here in America.
I didn't get that story. I'd like that information, though.
Yeah, I have to try and find that. Maybe I can send that off to you. But that's just in the news, just within the last week or two.
Mm. But, you see, as I said, you know, the apostasy is an issue for Muslims. So they come here. They just don't practice it. Or they, you know, follow the reformed idea of Islam, because no one wants the militant inside side of Islam if they want to be peaceful. And so, you know, the opportunity is here because there's an open spirit to an extent. You know, I mean, there's a little fear still in their hearts, but we do have an opportunity. We rejoice. We praise God that through our ministry, being on the air, we've now heard of over 70 Muslims who've come to Christ. And so Muslims are getting saved. I mean, that's the result of our ministry. But there's been thousands of Muslims that are turning to Christ around the world. Don't think that they're turned off. Let me tell you a quick story of a friend of mine, Sharam. Sharam was a teacher in Atlanta. His student gave him a tape of her pastor preaching the Easter message there, the death and the burial and resurrection. And he finally listened to it, and he couldn't stop listening to it. He gave it back to her, and she thought, oh, I guess you didn't like it. No, actually, I did like it, he said. I bet I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued by this. As a Muslim, this is a guy from Iran. As a Muslim, I'm to die for Allah. But in Christianity, it seems like your God died for you.
What an amazing difference, to put it.
He said, I've never heard of that before, and I'd like to know more. And so he met the pastor, and he got saved. Today, he's a pastor today.
Wow, that's amazing.
And Shram's, you know, my partner on the radio there on our broadcast. So you hear not just from a missionary, you hear from a former Muslim as well. And so, you know, don't ever think that Muslims know what we believe and they've rejected it. They don't even know what they're supposed to believe for the most part, much less what we believe, what the Bible teaches. And so there's curiosity. And if you take it to them with love, and there's some things, you know, that we can suggest if we have the time of ways to do that. And so, this is a great place to take the gospel to them.
Well, Tom, and of course I'm speaking with Tom Wallace of Fortress of Faith, and he's got a radio program, national radio program, talking about Islam and also helping to reach Muslims with the gospel. And we've got a caller calling in here this evening, and let's get our caller on here real quick. We've got Tom calling in, and Tom, welcome to the program tonight.
Oh, thank you, Pastor. Yeah, this is your friend, Tom.
Hey, Tom, recognize the voice. Glad to have you.
Okay, good. I'm just curious, and I'm going to ask a real quick question, and then I'm going to hang up and listen to you guys answer it, okay? How much of what's going on right now with what you're talking about this evening, with this influx of Muslims coming into America, and how it may shape the differing courses of this country, how much of this can be reflected or seen in the light of Scripture as far as eschatology or prophetic events?
All right. That's a good, challenging question there. How much of what's going on with this Islamic immigration into America reflect...
As it plays out in the end days. And thank you very much, and I'll listen.
All right. Tom, thanks for the call, and I'll turn it over to Tom Wallace here.
Well, I think it has an element to play in it. I don't find America in Bible prophecy.
No, I don't either.
Those who do, I think, stretch at some scriptures to make it fit. Certainly, we're not going to have a very major role in biblical prophecy as a nation. So what happens to America? Now, I don't think that we will be taken over by a foreign army. I think we're well defended. But where we are vulnerable, where we're weak, where we're foolish and stupid, actually, is to allow ideologies and religions to move amongst us that is anti what we have been founded upon. And so I think that's going to take us down, and it will be the end of us, and could be possibly that is, and I've been saying Islam is a formidable enemy, and I believe Islam is the coming judgment upon our nation if we continue in our sin, if we don't repent. I believe we can. I believe that there can be a repentance and a returning back to God. But if we don't, if the status quo remains the same, I believe God is going to use Islam as one of the instruments, not the only, but one of the instruments to bring judgment upon us. And it's going to come from within. Sharia law is now part of the legal code in England. That didn't come by the hands of the jihadis, of the terrorists. It came by the hands of the reformed Muslims. You see, Islam is Islam. You can't, you know, even reformed or militant fundamentalist, it is going to bring Sharia, and Sharia is destructive. And, they've relented in England. They've now allowed Sharia courts. We know of at least 85 of them operating. And why did Britain do it? Because they allowed so many Muslims move into their country. They felt obligated to let them have their laws. And that's what Muslims will demand. And if we allow more into our country, that's what soon they'll demand. And they are already demanding it.
I read a great quote here that goes along with what you're saying. They said, civilizations don't fall because there are barbarians at the gate. There are barbarians at the gate because a dying civilization has lost touch with the values that made it great. The barbarians didn't bring down Byzantium. They aren't bringing down America and Europe. the barbarians of the prophet just show up to profit from the fall, and we are the ones who open the gates and hand over the keys to our killers. And you know, you look at what's happening in America today, enforcing same-sex marriage. Who'd have thought that a year ago? There's a woman in Kentucky in jail right now over this. You know, arguing over whether or not a teenage boy should be allowed to change in the girls' locker room in high school because he feels like he's a girl in a man's body. And when people complain, it's the girls that are uncomfortable with him changing in there and them changing with him in there. They're the ones that have the problem, not him. And we could go on and on. You know, the Planned Parenthood videos that have been out there and the fact that the major media won't even touch the story and yet defends Planned Parenthood. And clearly, we're a civilization that's lost touch with the values that's made it great. And those values are biblical values. And this is where God's people need to get out there. And we need to get involved and call for repentance in our nation. And then, like you said, we have an opportunity to reach these people with the gospel. And it's a lot easier to reach them here, like you said, than over in parts of the Islamic world. Tom, we've got another caller calling in here, and we've got Dana calling in tonight. Dana, welcome to the program.
Yeah, hi, Pastor Al. I haven't called in a while.
Hi, good evening.
I got home early today after a long day. So, I love the topic tonight, actually, because I wrote a paper one time, I guess it's probably about 5 or 6 years ago. And I said in the paper that I really don't worry so much about the Muslims, because what happens is, you know, it's really difficult, and it isn't to me. I think that it's really difficult to when a person tries to force beliefs or to try to force understanding, because you can never force somebody to understand with something. When you try to sort of quote-unquote ram
right.
information down their throat, so to speak, that's immediately a reaction that they stop and they push back the opposite way and they hate it. But if one, the American Muslims and people that are, and Muslims in general, that they called their Muslims the Nation of Islam, and then Jesus was the Lamb of God. So they've already been set up by the Holy Ghost, because the Lamb is Islam. So, you know, that's the divine revelation that I've gotten from the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, let me get Tom's thought on this, because I've not heard that explanation of Islam there as an explanation of that. Tom Wallace?
Yeah, are you saying that the Lamb is Islam?
No, what I'm saying is that in reference to Islamic conversion and by the Holy Ghost to salvation, the use of the word Islam, Jesus, the Messiah Jesus, is the Lamb of God,
right?
And the projection of the Lamb of God was whenever the blood was in the Egyptians, for example, when the blood was sprinkled on the doorpost. And whenever you look, even in the Jewish faith, we look at how they have the mezuzah, which is also prophesies the Messiah and the blood of the Messiah protecting your home. So
I'm sorry, I don't see how this fits.
Yeah,
well.
I'm gonna. We have time's sake here. We really don't have a lot of time to get into this. I apologize,
I'm sorry,
Dana.
I'm not quite following the argument. Islam means submission. I don't see how that.
Yeah, it. I think she was saying something along the lines of Lamb, Islam. I think that's what I got in there. And I'm not really sure where she was going with that. So I apologize to Dana that we had to had to move on from that, because we only got a few minutes left here and not really following what was going on there. I don't know about you, Tom, but I was a little I wasn't really following that too much. But we do see in Islam an attempt to maybe we can go on what Dana was saying, an attempt by the devil to co-opt Christ in a sense, but certainly not as God in the flesh, as a prophet maybe. And certainly in Sharia Islam, I've read where they believe that, that Jesus is going to come back in the end time and support, you know, the 12th Imam in his setup of you know, Islamic rule over the whole world. But Islam fundamentally, though, denies the deity of Christ, which marks it as a false religion right there. I mean, there's certainly no scriptural merit to Islam from the biblical standpoint. It is completely against the Bible. They believe that you're, I'm trying to think what it is, they believe that you're not an apostate, but an infidel if you believe that Jesus died on the cross or that he's God in the flesh.
So. Yeah, exactly. I know we're short on time. Let me just say this about the good news about witnessing to Muslims. There's three things that usually come up. The deity of Jesus Christ. They deny Christ as being God. The crucifixion of Christ, because they reject that, and also his resurrection as well. And so those are the three things that you usually have, and well, rather the Bible being the Bible being corrupted. So those are three arguments that you usually have to deal with a Muslim. Right. They have a Jesus in the Quran, Isa, and the Muslim Jesus is not the same as our Jesus of the Bible. They think it is, but it's not. And they often say that their God is the same as our God, but their God has no son.
Right.
Allah hath no son. Our God has a begotten son, Jesus Christ. So there's many different differences there that need to be covered when you deal with the Muslim. But the big thing is get them into the Gospel of John. Read the Gospel of John. They believe the Gospels were given to Jesus, the Injils, what they call it. And so get them to read the Gospel of John with you and pick up the verses of the deity of Christ that are in there. And just answer questions. Don't try to argue it out. Just ask them, what do you think this means? What do you think this means? What do you think this means? And pray for them.
Right. I think you can't stress that more. Pray for them. We need to pray for Muslims because you said it at the beginning of the program. They're the first victims of Islam, aren't they?
They are.
And
definitely.
Who is going to reach them? Who's going to deliver them from that victimhood? It's not going to be fellow Muslims. God chooses to work through men and women who know Christ as their Savior. God chooses to work through those that His Holy Spirit is in. And he's called us to be salt and light in the world. If we don't reach Muslims, who will? And I think that's something that every Christian needs to understand. We've been talking with Tom Wallace here today, and we still got a few minutes left on the program. Tom, mention your website again real quick, if you would, please, and what's available there.
Sure, yeah. Our website is fortressoffaith.org. That's fortressoffaith.org. Or if you go to Facebook, it's Fortress of Faith Radio. We post a lot of things or share things on Facebook that we don't put on our website. And, for example, we were talking about the immigration of Muslims. I have two videos there. One of the pouring in of Muslims into Europe from Macedonia into Greece. You can see them just a video coming through. And then another video that those have been held by the police there at the border. And they come to bring them care packages by the Red Cross. And because it had the Red Cross on them there, the Muslims were rejecting these care packages. Here's these people that are refugees. They need help. They need aid. But they won't take aid from the Red Cross. And then they're waving their finger, the number one finger, crying out, Allah Akbar. But the number one finger there is a representative of ISIS. It's a Wahhabism that's practiced within ISIS. Right. And, you know, one God, one faith, one government, that type of stuff there. The caliphate is what they mean. And so, you know, these are not friendly Muslims coming into Europe. And so a lot of things there that we need to be watching on that. And that's on our Facebook page, Fortress of Faith Radio.
Well, I appreciate that, Tom Wallace. Tom Wallace has been our guest here tonight on Live with Pastor Al, Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And he's a host of Fortress of Faith, a national radio program. You can find him at fortressoffaith.org. And also check out our website. We'll have links there at livewithpastoral.com. And we're about out of time here tonight. Tom, I want to thank you for being on the program. You have a tremendous ministry, and I want to encourage people to pray for you. And certainly, you can visit the website there, and if there are a church who would like to find out more information, I encourage you to go there. Tom, we'll have to get you on again sometime, but we're out of time tonight. Don't give up. There's still hope. God's still on the throne. God bless. Have a great night.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.